Hi, I'm Patrick Kagan, your host for Sales Hindsights, a podcast conversation, or poversation, as I like to call it, that provides you the 2020 vision of hindsight to all things sales, sales management, executive leadership, and entrepreneurial ventures. So if you like what you hear and could use some one-on-one help in your own corner of the world, then send me a note to patrick@pklistmarketing.com and let's see what the free consultation reveals for you. For right now, I invite you to join me and my high-powered guests as we podversate for your sales and business growth. Okay, thanks for tuning into our podcast. Our podcast is called Sales Hindsights, and our continuing conversations are designed to help basically make sales make sense, and in many cases, we're going to make life make sense. It's catered to sales professionals, it's catered to business professionals, it's catered to entrepreneurs, people who are trying to have their own business, start their own business, grow their own business. It all plays into the whole idea of building a better customer experience. So the spirit of Sales Hindsights is to have some great conversations with industry leaders in their respective areas, people who have excelled for the last 20 to 30 years, and I consider them my friends. I'm very grateful to have them in my circle of influence. And our mission together is to have a podversation that will assist on several levels and cover several topics. Now, joining me today is Julie Bartkus. Julie is an internationally known speaker, coach, best-selling author. She's worked for 20-plus years really helping business leaders across the globe work to what she calls detox the workplace environment. And it's not just detoxing the bad, it's enhancing what's good. And she's noticed very measurable productivity gains. She's got a loyal following because what she does works. And she brings a whole world of experience from her own personal life into her professional life, and that's what makes her stand out. And when you listen to her, I think you'll enjoy her as much as I enjoy talking with her. She's been described as a serial entrepreneur, which I think is phenomenal because she is so committed to what she does, and what she does is really help people help themselves. So, Julie, I don't know if I've done a good job describing your bio. If there's anything I've left out, please feel free to fill that in for me. And welcome to today's conversation.
Oh, thank you so much, Pat. It's such a pleasure to be here. You did a fantastic job with my bio. And I'm just really here to serve your listeners and get some good information out there that they might be struggling with. So it's just an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I really looked forward to this particular conversation and your insights in particular, because you know the area you work in is really it's all encompassing for a lot of areas that we try to help. It's the workplace in general, and it plays into things like when people take a job and then it turns out to not be what they thought it was when they interviewed, or an employer hires a person and then they don't turn out to be what they thought they hired. There's a lot of things that, you know, social and psychological interactions, people's self-doubt, the rejections they face, managers understanding how to attract and hire talent. So I wanted to kind of turn it over to you and say, you know, hear about your experiences. And the underlying question that I'm going to have is, where does it all fall apart and how do you address that?
Well, that's a loaded question there. let me start by telling you that, you know, a lot of times over the past 20 years, I've gotten calls from managers and from owners who are really struggling, trying to get their team where they want it to be, or trying to get their life or their business to where they want it to be. And they've asked me a profound question, and I thought about that question many times over the past 20-plus years, and that question is probably one that's familiar to many entrepreneurs, and it's, what else do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do to make this work? What do I need to do to make my team work? What do I need to do to make my business work?
Mm-hmm.
And when I started looking at the trends and the different things that were going on inside of a business, inside of an organization, the question that came to my mind that we really wanted to shift our mindset to was not so much, well, what else do I need to do? It's what else or what do I need to stop doing?
Right.
Because there's a lot of things that get added in that we're doing that create the destructiveness that we're feeling in the workplace, and that's really preventing leaders and managers from attracting and managing and motivating the team of their dreams. And one manager, I remember, one business owner, she said, you know, I thought I would just have my vision. I would hire some people, and it would all be like, you know, rainbows and slumber parties and lollipops. It would all just be like happy bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I was really disillusioned that it wasn't.
Right.
It was a real struggle and a real challenge to get people together. So we really started looking at, well, what is it that leaders need to start eliminating from the workplace, hence the phrase detoxing,
mm-hmm.
and then what is it that we need to start welcoming back once we're detoxed?
Mm-hmm.
This just gives a little bit of a history of, you know, where I started with this, but your question was about, well, where does it fall apart?
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody comes in to the work situation with this powerful vision, right? The new employee is excited. They're excited. They're on fire about their new job. They're probably telling friends and family about it. And the employer is like, woo, got somebody in. They're doing a happy dance. And then life goes on.
Right.
But then what happens is that we don't follow through on the promises that are made to the employee, they start to change and shift, thinking, uh-oh, what did I get into?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just all starts to fall apart.
You know, I agree with you. And in my 30-plus years of experience, and a lot of the folks that I work with in consulting and trying to, you know, better either an individual salesperson or a sales department or a group, the question, like you said earlier, what else do I need to do? Everybody seems to recognize, whether it's a business owner, a sales manager, a sales individual, there's something more. And they either know exactly what it is and they're not willing to make that first step, or they have no idea what it is, but they know that something has to change. Most folks don't ask the question you ask, the other side of that coin, what do you need to stop doing? And,
right.
And I think where I see things fall apart, it's echoing what you're saying here. If you could go to day one of company number one and you said, write down your vision, what will you do, and keep it in one sentence, and it's a simple sentence, the minute you get into day two and beyond and you start having people interacting, that vision goes to the side and things start happening and it starts falling apart right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think...
I agree.
Yeah, and I think what people do that they need to stop doing is creating more process around activity, because what they measure grows and they're measuring the wrong things, and get away from process and look at fulfillment, productivity, happiness, problem solving, and keep your eye on the customer. I mean, ultimately, people manage other people's activities to the point where they're dissatisfied and dysfunctional.
Yeah, that's so true, and there is. It's like we're looking at the processes, we're measuring our milestones, but then, you know, there might be some more interpersonal processes, as I would call them, that we need to put into place,
right?
You know, to make sure that the vision, you know, and I love what you're saying about the vision. It's like we've got it written down, but then what I find happens is like we take that vision and we put it in a file cabinet, or we put a thumbtack through it. You know, through its face, I call it, and we stick it up on the wall.
Yeah.
And then we forget really about the meaning or the feeling that's involved with having a vision that's alive and growing and expanding.
Right. Right. And it's, you know, it's forgetting the founding principles of that type of thing. I have a small business. My core competencies are marketing, large format printing and graphics, and direct marketing. And it's always exciting to think about growing and opening new areas, but I always cautiously approach these things, because when you don't, air quotes, stick to your knitting, you start making things more complicated, you start going in different directions, and you lose sight of what first got you there. And so my core competencies, I try to have sort of a vision revisit and a reboot if necessary on a monthly basis. And I make sure that I pull out my one sentence vision and I challenge myself to prove to myself that I'm sticking to that. And that's really what keeps me and my staff on track. And we don't get hung up on what is your title, or how long have you done it? We like to say, who's got the best idea and how do we make that happen?
That's very impactful. And that's very empowering for your staff as well.
It is. And it's you know, it's a detox in a way, but it's a refresh. And I try to put those two, when I think of two sides of a coin, I think of them that way, detox and refresh. And it just, you know, for us, it keeps us focused. You see people around the globe. I mean, what, you know, I asked you, where does it fall apart? How easily does it get put back together?
Well, if you have the right strategy, it can get put together pretty quickly. So I see some huge transformations happen with my clients. And just last night, I was coming back from the grocery store, and a couple clients left me a message. And they said, oh, my goodness, Julie, that was like the best staff meeting ever. Mm-hmm. So I've worked with a lot of organizations where there's trust that is lost. There's engagement that is non-existent. And it's really just everybody trying to make it through another stressful day.
Right.
So it's pretty far apart from the dreamy team, as I like to call it, mm-hmm. that you want to have in place and that you desire and that you deserve to have in place to support your vision.
Right.
And there are some very specific techniques and strategies that you can implement along with the right mindset to pull things back on track very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I've seen change and transformation happen in under 30 days. Mm-hmm. But I really think that the right guidance is needed, because our minds default to this place of what I was initially saying of, well, what else do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it can't go there. It has to really look out, well, what are we experiencing in the workplace? So if we have things like absenteeism, tardiness, call-outs, gossip, negativity, drama, we could go on. We have to recognize, first of all, that those things are symptoms of other things happening in the workplace.
Right.
So anytime you have employees who are disengaged, you really have to look at that, number one, as a symptom, and then number two, as a leader or as an owner. And this is the toughest pill to swallow, but if you can swallow it, you're going to make some fast progress.
Right.
You have to ask yourself, well, I have to take responsibility. You have to tell yourself, I'm responsible for everything that I created.
Right.
So I've either hired these people, I've coached them, or I haven't fired them.
Right.
So you've got to, first of all, take responsibility for the creation of all of these symptoms that you're experiencing. Because it could be easy for our mindsets to go to a place of, well, let's fix my staff. I have to fix them. But it really doesn't start. The symptoms don't change until we step back, take responsibility, and start fixing ourselves from the top down.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I've had more experiences where the individual leader wants to fix everything that's out there. And it absolutely fails 100% of the time if the change does not happen from the top. Let's face it, the top person is the one that created the vision in the first place.
Right.
And the top person...
Or didn't create it,
exactly. And the expectation of other people will just embrace this and carry it around happily doesn't make sense. Expectations always equal outcomes, so... I'm expecting you to understand it, but you don't get the meaning behind the words. That's insanity. There's a disconnect in that. And, you know, the other thing that I notice, and you talk about people who are disengaged, I run into, when I'm doing turnarounds for groups, the people who are completely engaged, and what they say is either neutral or negative, but they don't realize that they are. And they usually start sentences with, well, here's how we do things here. And that's the worst thing to say. It's defensive. We're not going to change because here's how we do things here. And to me, that's kind of like the cavity walking up to the toothpaste and saying, hey, here are things work here in our mouth.
Right. And it was interesting. And I reflect back to, 20 plus years ago, the first time I took a stage, it was in a school speaking. And I remember, I think it was the superintendent came on stage, shook my hand. He says, good luck. They're a strange group.
Oh, my gosh.
And, and I had a big awareness in that moment. I'm like, I can't really go into an organization and make change happen unless the top person is on board and excited.
Yeah.
And the initiative is from the top down. Otherwise, it's just like we're throwing Band-Aids all over everything. And when we put a Band-Aid on something and we keep just piling another Band-Aid on it, putting another one on it and another one on it, you know, it kind of gets really gross what's underneath there. And so then it's like you don't want to pull back the Band-Aid and really take a good look at the truth and the reality of the situation that you created. But, you know, when you have little kids and you keep a Band-Aid on for too long, you pull it back, you know, it kind of gets pussy and bloody and gross.
Yeah, you've got a smelly mess on your hands. You're exactly right.
Right. And the same thing happens with our organizations. You know, it's like we've kept the Band-Aid on for too long. You know, this is the way we do things. The Band-Aids are in place. Don't move them. You know, we're going to create some chaos here or people might quit or whatever it might be. But you pull it back and you really start looking at the picture of what it is. Mm-hmm. Then we could start to change it, and then we could start to change it pretty quick.
Well, and you know what? You're right. And some people need to quit, and some people need to be let go. Because okay. if they're truly not happy and unfulfilled, they're just occupying somebody else's job. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, so I want to ask you, do you ever run into a company where you say, there is no hope, there's nothing we can do?
Do I run into a company where I think that about the company?
Yeah. Do you ever see where it's completely impossible?
You know, if I determine that the leader through our initial conversations is not coachable,
mm-hmm.
or that they don't take responsibility for the situation, it's a client that I would not take on, because I know that it's going to be a matter of putting more Band-Aids on things, and that's not really the way that I operate. Now, do people get results by putting Band-Aids on things? Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They do, but it's always like this struggle mm-hmm. to get the same kind of results again. So, for example, one organization I worked with, they were really great at getting candidates. They had their systems in place, mm-hmm. and they attracted people nonstop.
Right.
But the problem became they attracted all these people in, but then the people would stay a week, a month, 6 months, and they'd always be in a state of turnover.
Mm-hmm.
So the Band-Aid was to keep hiring more and more and more and more and get them in and get them in and get them in. But it was costing the company a lot of money because turnover is crazy expensive, you know, and not to mention even our mindset just to be submerged in thinking the thoughts about like, okay, we got to get more, we got to get more, we got to get more.
Yeah.
So that to me is a Band-Aid solution, and it could work, and we could become really good at just getting people in the door, but it's keeping them
mm-hmm.
and it's helping them become positive, helping them become productive. That is where the real art and the real skill is.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree, because the question there has to become not, are we good at hiring people? It's why are they leaving us? And, you know, your idea that Band-Aids work is, again, a premise I agree with, and it's like having a sprained ankle and you're using a crutch, and that crutch does work. But at some point, when you've healed, the crutch is harmful now. And,
right.
You know, I run into situations where folks love what I have to say. They say, what you say makes sense. You're spot on with turning our group around. And that's great, but you can tell they're not willing to go through the pain of change. And so when I asked, do you ever run into something where you just say there's no hope? I run into situations where the growth and the opportunity is possible, but it's not probable in a high return sense. And I'll tell the manager or the individual that not that I can't help you, but I can't do it for you. I can't discover something for you. So I can go through this path alongside of you, but I can't, and with you, but I can't do it for you. And where you'll end up saying this didn't work is that your expectations are out of line with what can happen because you don't really get behind this.
That's a true. And there are a lot of workplaces that won't make the change happen because they're going to be in the mindset of, like you said, we've always done it this way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or even looking at excuses like, well, it's the economy.
Right.
It's something else outside of what they control. So if we're first looking at, well, what is the thing that we need to change, we really need to change up our mindset in terms of what we believe is possible.
Yeah.
So if somebody doesn't believe it's possible, I don't think it's my role to go in and try to convince them that, hey, it is possible.
And it's,
you know, but if they have an inkling that it is possible and they know there's something here that's telling me something different is possible for my company or for my organization.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, let's have that conversation. So to me, and it's just like even changing things with staff.
Yeah.
Do they believe something is possible or something different is possible? possible for themselves. And if they could see it, then great, let's map out the journey on how we get there.
Absolutely. I love having the conversation with people where they just don't see it happening because, air quotes, they've tried everything, they know everything. And I'll tell them, I don't think I can help you because, you know, if you've tried everything and nothing works, then it won't matter. But I'll say if, you know, the question like, if money weren't an object, or if you could stop time, or if you had a magic wand and could wave it, what would happen after you waved that magic wand? Just no limitations, it just was magic that came out of it. Or there was no cost, so money was not an object. You could just name anything you wanted. And when people answer that question honestly, then you start saying, so what would it take for your organization to get there?
Right.
And then how hard would that be? And then what is the first step? And who are the right people on the team? And sometimes we put people in a role based on whatever our preconceived notion is, as opposed to what their abilities are. And by labeling, we're limiting. And that's where some people can't see they're doing that.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Sometimes we've got people in the wrong place, and you know, it's also really empowering for a leader to create higher expectations. An owner, a leader, create higher expectations, manage those expectations, and then let people self-select out.
Yes.
You know, once you are really clear about what the objectives are, we've had clients where it's like, oh, Julie, we just lost a ton of people. I'm like, woohoo, okay.
It's about
time.
That
makes way for the greater level of energy that you're now going to be attracting, that energy is cleared out. And we have to be able to look at it that way.
Yeah.
But if you start setting those expectations in place that, oh, these are higher, some people are going to be like, you know what, just not for me. I'm not in it.
Right.
I can't do it.
I think so many times leaders or people who are steps, we need to get out of our own way, and we need to let the growth of others come through. And when we can get out of our own way and look at what's possible, then better things can happen. And it's amazing to see, like you said, how quickly an organization can turn around if leadership gets out of the way, if the right team is in place, if we're willing to say, you might be the right person in the wrong role, and we have that quite often. It doesn't mean you have to fire somebody, but let's rewrite what our vision is. Let's sit down and say, our vision is the absolute best customer experience. We do it right the first time. We do it for a fair price. We have return customers. We can get referrals. All the things we all hope for. Where are we lacking? Why aren't we getting the things? Are we just simply forgetting to ask for more? Or are we letting people down along the way and everybody's too busy to stop and take a look? And all that plays into it, really. It does.
It does. And that's such a good analysis to be able to look at those questions and really think through them.
Yeah.
And I love that you're tying it back to what your vision is and what your values are for your organization. Be like, all right, what needs to change here?
Right. Right. It really does. Julie, this has been fantastic. It's a nice, refreshing 20 couple of minutes, you know, to sit with you, to hear your perspective. I'm looking forward to maybe you and I having a deep dive on a really specific topic. We get feedback from our listeners, and we'll dig deep. But it's
absolutely,
it's phenomenal. And I would encourage our listeners, there's two blogs of mine that I would encourage people to listen to. If you go to my website, pklistmarketing.com, and take a quick 30-second listen to the blog called Better Can Be Yours. And there's a link to quick 12 ways to bring happiness into your workplace. And the other blog is called From Victim to Victorious, Moving from Victim to Victorious. It's a lot of mindset tips that Julie was talking about. And then ultimately, Julie is available for help all the time. And if you go to www.juliebartkus.com, Julie's available as a help and as a support. And it's an invaluable resource. And what I find is the select few really good professionals are the ones looking to truly improve. And that's who I think Julie will expect to hear from after this. But Julie, I want to thank you. As always, these conversations are designed to give people a forum to listen. If they want to grow and get confidential, focused plans, Julie or I both would be available for help. You can email us. You can go to our websites. You can contact us. There's plenty of ways to find us. And our questions to you will be, are you ready to make the change, and will you support your own particular turnaround? Julie, thanks again. I look forward to our future conversations. Is there any last hindsights you might throw out there for our group to think about?
You know, I guess that I would just throw this out there, especially since we've been talking a lot about managing people, is that if you're wondering, can somebody change? So let's say you have an employee and you're wondering if they can change or not. I just want to plant the seed that there are a lot of good people out there in the workplace mm-hmm. who have just been mismanaged. And with the right strategies and the right mindset shift, their performance can totally shift. So it's not a matter of having to go back and fire everybody now. Right. It just might be that they might need some inspiration and that they've been mismanaged in the past, not even necessarily anything bad. But maybe it's something that they needed that we can offer, and they could change on a dime. And I've seen it over and over and over again. So don't give up hope. And I'll leave everybody with that. And thank you, Pat, so much for having me. It's been such an honor.
Thank you, Julie. It's been fantastic. And I think you summed it up perfectly there. So we look forward to next time. Julie, we'll be back in touch. And I always look forward to your pearls of wisdom. So thank you again.
Thank you.
So that's a wrap for now, and I hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation as much as I enjoyed participating in it. I look forward to hearing from you soon. I know better can be yours. Just send me a request, patrick@pklistmarketing.com, and let's take the first step toward better days together. We're confidential, customized, and we'll set a course to redirect your energies and your results. To close, I'm going to leave you with the words from one of my favorite musical groups, Rascal Flatts. Simply put, my wish for you is that your life becomes all that you want it to be.